Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is your boy, Mr. Parker. I'm here with another podcast. I already done told y'all that this season I'm not playing. I told y'all season two. After the first ones I did, I got episodes every week. And this one is going to be done, it's pretty much the next day already. But this one is going to be published later today. So you guys will have this one out. It's Homosexuality Part 3. And I promised y'all I was going to bring a guest on that's been through this. Think of the Donnie McClurkin route. I had to do it because y'all heard me. But I wanted y'all to hear from him. He did this. Like I said, go back. I've been telling y'all the past two episodes. Go back and look up Being Underestimated. I had Apollo featured in that one. But that was about mostly being underestimated overall. This one is clearly about homosexuality. I've never been that way, so it's harder for me to speak on it. I can just reference, I can talk about it, but I want you guys to hear from my brother Dante, aka Apollo. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to ask him some questions, and then he'll give some breakdowns. And we don't have a lot of time. We're trying to fit this in a 15-minute window. If it goes a little past, that's fine, but definitely not over 20. But we'll do a part two if need be. But so, Brother Paulo, I want to make sure your voice is heard. You got to be a little closer. You know, we got to be close so that way the voice is heard. There's no echoing. You're not sounding far away. But, you know, I want you to just give a testimony. Like, go do a run through of why. So you did this already, but I need you to do it now because now that I have people's attention and this is going on with this, and people need to understand the story, the pattern. I want you to just give a summary, the quickest summary you can on how, what made you that way, and more to that attention thing you were talking about before, like going into that.
All right. How y'all doing, everybody? My name is Dante. So I just want to give you a brief testimony of how things started, and I don't know like where to end it, but I'm going to just go and see where God goes. But to try to make a long story short, I grew up in an adopted home, and there was a lot of sexual activity that went on in that family. And unfortunately, years later, I found out that in my family line, the Evans family, there's something called a generational curse, and homosexuality happens to be that generational curse. So growing up from that and not knowing how to deal with things, and being a kid growing up and then going into the system, I went into the foster care system, and being in the world, we're in the world, but not of it. And I didn't know too much about that at the time. I ran into a lot of foster parents who would be like, it's okay, it's cool, it's whatever, you are this way. Things I used to focus on school a lot, and I didn't focus on dating women at all. So they used to take things like that and push and be like, nah, you're gay because you don't got a girlfriend. And it's like they will push that spirit. And it was already, like I said, it's a generational curse. So it was always something that lingered in the family. Mm-hmm. And it was like little people to edge it on there along the way. So coming up from that, ended up taking that route, and you know, something called rejection is a spirit that I that throughout my years, that's something that God has to deliver me of, a spirit of rejection. And rejection gets in there along with that generational curse, and here came homosexuality. It's something that lingers with you. It's a spirit that doesn't ever go away. Unfortunately, it's one of them strong mans that you always got to deal with, but the only way to deal with it is you got to stay close to God. That's the only way, because the moment you step away from God, it's just downhill, and it slowly overtakes you, and you just never know where it's going to go from there. You'll go from one day just the thought of it, and then it goes from the thought of it to the looking at men, and it's like in a way that you're like, I shouldn't be looking at it like that. And then it's like you start to question yourself a little bit, and then it goes stronger. That spirit comes on even more. Then it goes to the images online. Then it goes to pornography. Then pornography goes into wanting the desire to actually do the act. And then from the act is then all of a sudden the devil knows he sets you up right in a place to get caught. And he'll start sending those people around you. Then all of a sudden it's okay. Oh, here comes the yo, let's go to this place. Let's chill. Then here comes the, now you're chilling with people of that nature who have that same spirit of homosexuality. Then all of a sudden you start experimenting. And then from experimenting, it goes into full blown. And then with that spirit, it's so unpredictable. You never know where it's going to take you. You can end up being a person who starts cross-dressing, or being a person who starts defending it, or become a gay activist, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So these are those things that I just know from having that spirit in my life and how many years it's been taking to be delivered. Like I said, it's one of those things that hover over you forever, and you just got to stay close to God to, like...
So I know a lot of people from the past podcasts I've done about this. A lot of people would say, like how you said, it hovers and it falls. A lot of people would say it's not hovering, it's not following. It's literally what you are, and you're fighting against it. What would you say to that?
What I got to say to that is this. Knowing what I know now, God don't make mistakes. God did not make you to be with a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. Mm. He made Adam and he made woman from Adam's rib. It was never meant to be Adam and Steve. It was never meant to be Samantha and Jerrica. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And even if, say I took the spiritual aspect out of it and I went scientific route, because a lot of people will be like, well, science, I'm going to go the scientific route with you real quick. How can a man and a man make a baby? How can a woman and a woman make a baby? You got to step outside of nature and go into all these surrogacies and adoptions just to get that child. Then you should know something. Also, with the man and a man going up, what's supposed to come out of that area is feces. What makes you think that something's supposed to go up there? You see what I'm saying? I think of things like that now that I know what I know now. It's before, not something before, would you could you, be born with.
Before, would you say that at one point you were like those gay activists where it was defending? Like, it was more like, you know what, maybe this is the way we're born. Or did you never have that thought in mind? Like, it was never... this is the way we're born, or what went through your mind in this time frame?
Well, for me personally, I wasn't that person, and the reason being is because when I did start growing up, I grew up in when I was with my adoptive parents in the beginning, mm-hmm. I did go to church, so I knew what God was already, and mm-hmm. I had a little piece of God.
Yeah,
but like I always tell people, you really never know God until you become an adult, because then you finally think for yourself and you choose him. So I was never that person that was like, yo, you're wrong, this, that, and the third is whatever. I always questioned it myself, even during that. I always never liked it. Mm. It always made me, I always try to fight it on my own and realize I couldn't do it on my own. I was never that person that stuck up for it. And I always was the person that would go, I was so back and forth because I really didn't want it. And I knew, and deep down inside, what I wanted, but what was happening.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I never was that person that thought that, I was never a gay activist, period. Mm. I was never that person that was like defending it like that, because I just,
you always was such a battle. You always kind of felt the guilt with it.
Always.
What would you say to someone that feels that they're in a relationship with someone that's the same sex and this is the happiest they've been? What would you tell them? Because I'm sure you felt that way before. Like, you were with someone and was like, this is the happiest I've been. What would you say to that person?
So, I was in about maybe a 3-year, I think it was, or more, relationship. And I was actually underage mm-hmm. when this was. I think I started that relationship at the age of, believe it or not, 12. And this person was is just turning 20, or 19 turning 20. And I was with that person for 3 years, and I was so convinced that it was the right thing to do, because that person had made me happy on the aspect of they took me out of my foster home and let me live in the house with them. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. The thing I didn't have, again, going back to the spirit of rejection, I didn't have family. I was in the system. This person introduced me to their family, and their family treated me like I was their own. Mm-hmm. So those things made me think that it's good. But however, once again, it was always a battle. So it was a back and forth, because eventually during that time that I was meeting, during this time that I was dating this person, I met a woman who would later in years become my fiance. Though we didn't get married, she would later become my fiance. And I started to date her in between both of that. Mm-hmm. Never told anyone this, by the way. Started to date her in between dating this guy. And while I was dating her, it was like, dag, I'm liking this way more, and I'm veering off from this. And I started to distance myself from that. Long story short, eventually I moved to Taunton. I met this church family called the Parkers, and they're really dope people. Met them, and when my transformation started to happen, then I fully committed myself to Yvette, who would then become my fiance back before you know. Things fuck up.
Look, we're going to talk about the church part because this is the toughest part because you have them people. I've got messages, man. I've gotten people emailing the message. And I even know people still emailed. But I got people emailing me, I got people hit me on Messenger, emails, bigot, and the fact that your church is teaching hate. I'll never forget the moment where you were revealed to everyone in our church. Like, people felt it, but no one wanted to, like, just say, like, we're not perfect. So you have some people in the church that are still fighting with the world and God, and they would call you out and be like, you're gay just because how you act with certain things, or they're fighting. But in general, like, it never was confirmed by you until one day you decided to tell everybody that you were fighting homosexuality. I want you to talk about that moment. What made you decide to reveal that? Why'd you reveal that? And how was the reaction from everyone after?
So before I even say that, I want to go back to the word you said, hate.
Mm.
If there was any hate in the church, I wouldn't be here to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because I was the person that if you rejected me, I was going to do the opposite of what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was hate in anything that the church had did, I would have never got delivered because I would have been the opposite. It's been like, okay, well, now I'm going to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But going to that moment, I remember on that day, and it had to be the Spirit of the Lord because I had just started going there consistently, and I was singing in the, we were doing some kind of song in the choir. I think it might've been one of the slow songs that Pastor had wrote. Mm. And we were singing those songs, and eventually she said, if anyone has a testimony, and people were giving their testimony, and I got up and didn't know why I was getting up, and I was just speaking, and I remember
God does that all the time.
It was a very quivering speak because I didn't know how to say it and I didn't know why I was saying it, but I just let it flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to give a little piece of what happened in my younger years and why I was the way that I was now. And even though I remember it was not clear as day of what I was saying because I was just so scared at the moment. Everyone else knew what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I was shocked because it was all the men that were so manly that if you look at them, it's like their words no homo was every other 5 seconds type of men. In my mind, that's how I thought that these guys are going to be like brutal and mean, even down to like who now I consider to be my cousin, Anthony, or down to my uncle Derek or things like that. People like that, I would expect them to be like, yo, I'm staying away from this dude.
You're talking about straight dudes that like,
yeah,
they're ruthless. Like they can be real cutthroat. Like to this day, they still can be cutthroat. And I remember that moment. And I remember when you said that and what the reaction was. I remember because I was shocked myself. Like it was almost like what they did made me get up. Because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to chill. I'll talk with him one-on-one. But they all got up and went to hug you.
Yeah, they did.
And at that moment, I know it had to be a shock to your system, like you just said. I know it had to be a shock to your system, but I know the first thing that hit your mind was, this is God.
Oh, yeah. Because like I said, growing up in the situation you did, I knew people who were Christians. And if you told them what I told the people, they'll hit you with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean metaphorically. I literally mean they'll smack you with the Bible while praying for you and rebuking you.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. But what did happen was something that actually helped.
Yeah.
Because it was understanding. It was love. And then there was the truth.
Yep.
There's a difference. There's understanding. There's love. And you have to always give understanding and love to anyone, even if they're sinner or no sinner. You
got
to
understand
anything. You got to be able to hug them still because that's what Christ is. That's what the agape love is.
Yeah.
But tell them the truth. If you don't tell them the truth, you're going to be held
accountable. It's like, hey, come here, let me tell you. Give me a hug. You're a liar, just letting you know.
Like, I don't know about that way. Yeah. I'm saying
if people were more like that,
it might be
easier. You don't come off that way, but if people were more like, let me hug you, just so you know, God don't like that lying. I mean, you gotta, just between me and you, person ain't gonna be happy because no one likes to accept hearing nothing, but I agree with you 100%. I know if there's a killer, if there's a drug dealer, he has problems. If he gives a testimony, and then all of a sudden people go up to him and hug him, that's going to say,
it's going to break him to tears.
It's going to be like, this is where I belong. Because what they show in these shows, Greenleaf and all these terrible gospel renditions of what happens in churches, they make the church look so evil. They make it seem like every church is like that. There are a lot of churches like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do.
But not every church is like that. So we try to, and nothing but the truth, we try to find the balance of not being super judgmental, but not being soft. Because you got to still know the truth, because my mother preaches straight from the Bible.
Yeah.
So when she's saying the truth, like, it's I love you, I pray for you, but just know that this ain't right.
Yeah,
just
you
know,
take it by force.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, just know that this isn't right. And I remember, you know, the respect factor that everyone had for you because you said that, because it would have been terrible if you just kept hiding that, because it was like, dude, we know. We know. But I remember after that happened, I remember the progress of you went rapidly up. Like, it went rapidly to the point where it was like, we forgot that he said that. And then, of course, moments happened after, like going to New York and all that stuff came up, yeah. And all that after. But like you said, it follows, it lingers. If you ain't prayed up, if you ain't armored up,
yeah,
that's the you thing. Fall. That's the everybody falls.
Yeah,
everybody has a moment.
It's the spirit of homosexuality. I was one day asking the Lord to kind of let me write a book of a breakdown of it, mm-hmm. and in that breakdown, the Lord started to write through my hands that it's the spirit of lust and perversion, but it's almost like it's levels to it. And homosexuality is actually actually on the top of those levels of lust spirits, because it's so strong. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody understands how strong that actually is. And the reason being is because, yes, we know we're not supposed to commit adultery. We're not supposed to be sleeping with people outside of marriage, before marriage. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. That's God literally says that in the Bible, and whether people like it or not, God says to love what I love, hate what I hate. Yeah. And he called homosexuality an abomination. And it's the spirit that the devil likes to put into people, and why we call it the strong man, is a spirit that most goes against what God says. Mm-hmm. And that completely is the opposite of the design that God had created. Because like I said earlier, God created man for woman, woman for man, mm. Not men for men, women for women.
I talked about this, and I know you haven't had time to listen to the other ones, but I talked about this in my podcast. I already said God didn't make Adam and Steve and all that stuff, man. Like, it's as plain as day. And, you know, I got to bring it back, because I think people really are mistaken the fact that you're not someone that was confused at one point, and you're not someone... You literally live this lifestyle. Like, this was, they're like a lot of people are now, where they are in a relationship with another person that's the same sex.
I know all about the thing is that's why I tell people, there's one thing is if you could talk about it and if you knew somebody of it, but it's a whole different story if you've lived that life.
If you actually live that life, that's a whole different
thing. I know about the clubbing.
Playground.
I know about the pimping. I know about the trades of it. I know about the prostitutions of it. I've lived that life. I know all of that stuff. And there's like so much more that I could say, but it's not necessary to say. But there's so much that I've known because of experience. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that I've seen and been around. And especially in New York, that's one of those big places you see it a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that you find out in the underground. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So I know so much about it. So I can only speak because I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus someone just saying it just because, but I literally know that life. And honestly, as it sucks to say, but it's one of the most messed up lives. Mm. It's so dirty. It's people are so grimy. There's so much cheating that goes on even between the straight people. But in that life of homosexuality, it's literally a spirit driven by lust.
Oh yeah. What would you say to the people that say, I'll give you questions that people give me, because I answer them. But I think people don't want to hear from me because I'm married to a female, and it's like, I'd rather someone that had the like you just said, everything you just said, I agree 200% on. So I'd rather push these to you to ask you these questions. What would you say to someone that says, let them love if they're in love, let them love who they love? What would you say to that?
I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm
like,
sorry.
What? Huh? Let me calculate. Yeah, huh?
Here's what I just don't understand. Okay, so I was watching something, and it was talk about this woman had like fell in love with her dog or something like that, and she like literally married her dog.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's okay? Would you personally tell
me? Dude, I talked about this in my podcast. Trust me, I know. This is the world we live in, man. Like I said, I gave a perfect example. Pedophiles, when they rape little kids, they say, "I love little kids." And
oh, you'd be ready to jump on
them.
Yeah,
and then you're ready to go kill them. And I don't root for no pedophiles. I'm saying when you say that sentence of, let them love who they love. Let them, if they're in love, why stay out of it? You ain't in the bedroom with them.
But you know what? Here's the thing. This is the thing that people say is let them love what they love. Let them love who they love. But it's the moment that you have an opinion on it. It's like everybody's ready to jump down your throat. Mm-hmm. But if it was the opposite way, if you're agreeing with people, people are going to leave you alone. But yeah. The moment you say the opposite of what they believe, they'll jump down your throat. But here's the thing. Us as Christians, we can't believe in the Bible. We can't believe in what God says. We know the Holy Spirit because we speak in tongues.
Yeah.
We felt God's presence. We felt Jesus walk through a room. I know what that spirit is. Yeah. When Jesus walks through a room, I felt the presence of God. I've spoken in tongues. I can still speak in tongues.
No one can tell you that you didn't speak, that you don't speak in tongues, and that you didn't feel the presence of God.
So how can you then say that I can't speak on this matter? And you cut me off and say, nah, them Christians can't speak. You cut Christians down, but the moment that we say something about y'all, you cut us down. But if it was the opposite way, it's like, you can't say that about us.
Yeah.
We're suing you because you did this. You won't hire me. I found out the other day, unfortunately, I work with people who are gay. And it seems like my boss keeps hiring a lot of them. And I just don't understand it. And I pray every single day. And it's just one of those tough things, but you got to stay prayed up. And something they were talking about, they were like, I came here to work because I wanted to work for Chick-fil-A. And they interview, and they said, the way they interview, you got to believe in the Bible. You got to be a Christian. You can't date men. And the dude goes, well, that's why I didn't want to work there, because they looked at me and my partner and said, well, we can't work there. I agree with Chick-fil-A about that. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. But how about this? You say you can't discriminate, but why, as in a Christian place, as I forget who said it. Was Apostle Paul who said that? As for me and my home, we shall serve the Lord.
Like it was Joshua.
Joshua.
Might have been Joshua. I think it was Joshua.
So
David, Joshua.
We got to take that same thing and apply even to the job. If it's Christian owned, even into the job. And I forget who asked me this question, but they said, but don't the Bible say obey the laws of the land? And I had to hold back a laughter on that one, because yes, the Bible says obey the laws of the land. But God one day said that obey the laws of the land, but within what he says is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. So if the law is telling us that we have to dress someone by a person that's born a male and they dress like a female and want to be called by a female, I'm not calling you by a female. I'm going to call you by a male because that's what you were born. That's what God gave you, and God don't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. If the law tells me that I have to call you a female, I'm not going to follow that law because it breaks the law that God gave.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that. You want to persecute me and lock me up? Go ahead.
But what would
so be it.
What would you say to someone that's in a relationship right now? Someone that's in a relationship and they've been together for a few years now, and they pretty much gotten to the point where they accepted, like, this is who I love. We love each other. This is what we want it to be. Ain't no one going to interfere with that. What would your response to that be?
Honestly, get out of it. I honestly don't even know what else to say to you. Then get out of it. I know too many people right now who are in relationships. They're looking for houses. And let me ask you a question. How easy is it for you to... Do you notice how much of a struggle of things are? Even if you say you love this person and you're just rocking with it. I'm going to go with it. I'm the happiest I've ever been. How long did it take you to get an apartment? I ask that question because I know two females right now, who it seems like at every turn they take, they're getting hit with something. Mm-hmm. They still say they're happy with each other, but they're getting hit with something. They're trying to get into an apartment and everyone's turning it down. They're trying to save up money to get an apartment. Now, all of a sudden, someone hit the car. Now, half that money for that apartment went to the car.
Mm-hmm.
Then right after that, now medical bills. Then all that money they saved to get an apartment together, all of a sudden, now it's had to been dispersed out to somewhere else.
Yep.
Something that I've learned after years, and even owning a car myself, that when you don't go the way that God tells you to go,
lose it.
Things are going to be harder.
Yeah.
It's not going to flow the way that it should.
I've never met, other than Ellen, and I'm pretty sure they have problems.
You met Ellen?
No.
Oh.
But judging off of what I've seen, I never met a lesbian or gay couple that say, everything's peachy keen.
It don't work that way.
Not even in real relationships do it work, but when it comes to gay, like I always said, my main thing is, take away the spiritual aspect, my main thing is to just say, if you're a female and you're with another female, both of y'all females need to think, I will never have a son that's mine.
Yeah.
Or a daughter that is mine. Never. It's never, unless you do the whole surrogate and all that type of stuff. But God didn't intend for it to be that way. That's how I look at it as, forget the spirit. I brought up the animals, man, on one of them. I said, you notice animals don't have sex with each other. Like a lion, a female.
No, they don't.
Two female lions can't make another lion. Two male lions can't make a. And someone brought to me some statistics about other underwater animals that can reproduce without having sex and can... And are bisexual.
Like,
yeah, like asexual plus
all right, some creatures. There's no such thing as a bisexual animal. That just don't make no
listen
sense.
Listen to me. You got to, if only you knew the stuff that people be texting me. Just, we ain't going to get into that. But people, like I said in my last podcast, I love how everyone keeps pointing out little things, like I said about the animals, but no one's answering my question, eh?
I got a question that just popped in my head. All right, so say you got two women in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question that in the gay world that people always say, who's the woman and who's the male?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed something that even like with people that I know personally, one of them is more manly looking or start cutting their hair or dressing like a dude.
Yep.
And the other one's more feminine. If you want to be with a woman or if a man wants to be with another man, why is one of y'all changing
I've
to be
this
like
question,
the opposite?
I asked this question for years. If you're lesbians, why does one of the lesbians have to act more like a guy while the other lesbian is the girl?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. If you're guys, why does one guy have to be extra preppy and extra girly while the other one's a little bit more manly? I don't understand it. If you're two girls and you only want a girl, why are you dating a girl that's sitting here dressing like Queen Latifah off of Set It Off? I don't understand. What's the point? Then what do you, I'm so confused by that. You
then
obviously miss that in some type of way. You miss a man. I've said for years, I went to Brockton High School and it was terrible as far as how the bisexuality went around out there because a lot of women went bisexual because they were hurt by men. And then there was really no gay men in Brockton High the years I was there. It's probably like one or two. But the females was running rampant, like, I'm bi. And a lot of times they do it for a cute thing. They know that it attracts more guys. They know guys love bisexual women.
They think that they can get the threesome aspect,
you know,
out of it.
And that's how guys think. You know what I mean? I never thought that way. I never wanted that. I never wanted the three-way. I never was into that. But I think about it, I say, oh, man, it's late. But think about it, I said, man, it is so crazy that no matter how you look at it, all these people that sit here and say that it's okay to be this way and it's fine to be this way and this and that, I said this in my first podcast. If everyone decided today, Paul, to just say, I agree with gayness. I think that everyone should love. If all of a sudden we all woke up and we loved them, where's the rest of the kids? So when you say approve of that, all these pro-life and these no abortion type, you kind of support. You kind of are saying, "I'm cool with there being no more kids."
Yeah.
If you say I support gays, you are almost saying I support no more children being born, like fresh children being born. Not. And then of course people are gonna say, "Well, we support people that are straight too." So if people that are straight are having sex, but what about your kids? What about your generation? What about your line? Generations, lines, families are going to keep getting cut down and cut down. And I always tell people, you ever notice with gay stuff, with homosexuality, with bisexuality, all that type of stuff, that's where all these diseases form from. Doing the butt and AIDS and Creed and all these diseases. You can get them from regular, like just regular having sex. But a lot of these come from
mixture. Longer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It takes longer in a straight relationship of sleeping around than it does for that. Because what is it called? HIV and AIDS is one of the biggest things in that culture. Speaking of that, while living in New York, if you go around New York, especially in the Bronx, there's trucks that are out there almost every day for like 2 hours. You go there and you get the rapid test because it's so big and it's such a thing. There was a time where I was clubbing in New York during this time of Under That Spirit. And I went to the club and there was this go-go dancer. And at the time, my mom had kicked me out of her house. So in order to, like I said, I know about the prostitution and the way of selling yourself to get something. In order to have a place to stay, I gave myself to somebody in order to just have a place to stay. And then when I was like, you know what, I can't do this no more. I'd rather go in the shelter and just try to figure things out myself. One day, that person had texted and said, I just found out that I got, I forget what he said it was. He said, I got something, or gonorrhea or something, maybe. I don't know. He said, I got something. He says, I just found out that I got it. He goes, obviously, it was from before you. And he goes, you just got to go get yourself checked. That might have been the most scariest situation in the world.
I know your soul jumped to another dimension.
No, it didn't at first. I'm not a violent person, but I got very angry and violent.
Yeah.
I was very angry and violent. I was pissed off. There was no... Because I've always, even in that life, I've always been clean.
Yeah.
So the moment, and even when I thought that I was, I've had panic moments where I thought that maybe something and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, I'm like, oh, man. Like, now it's over. I'm like, dang. And then now I'm like, I should have never done it. Then I go get that test and I'm like, I'm clear. But just finding out I was clear, I actually told the Lord while on the way to get to the test. I was like, yeah, I know I haven't talked to you in a little bit. And I know that I don't have the right to ask you for protection. But I'm like, if you let this disease skip and don't touch me, I'm coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that test. I found out that I was good, completely clean as a whistle. So it was maybe like 2 months later while in the shelter, I had actually called you.
Mm-hmm.
I called you, got on the phone with you, and I let you know that out of nowhere, I just started crying after saying I miss Derek. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a person that really is, like, missing Derek like that, because, you know.
For people that don't know Derek, he's your brother in the church and someone that Paul has clashed with for a long time, because he's in charge of the kitchen. Him and Paul have outings, but not relationship-wise, nothing. He's talking about missing a brother in Christ, which he was shocked about because he never, ever really wants to see him, so.
Yeah. So I knew that was God saying it was time to go back. So I called Andre, and it's funny because Andre picked up his phone at that moment to also call me. And we were just talking and we were like, yeah, it's just, you got to come back to God. And at that time I was doing, for like those straight 2 months, I was doing perfectly fine. And I was like, now I know it is the time and I can do it. And I said that I came back with a mindset that this was going to be a change this time. Mm-hmm. Things were going to be different. I had that mindset. You know?
Yep.
And it was just crazy.
That all makes sense, man. Like I said, we went way over time. We both do 15 minutes, but I already know, you know, when you're talking about something like this, you got to go. Because people are going to ask, where's episode 4? Well, y'all just got episode 3 and 4 combined pretty much. So I don't want to hear no complaints. But I thank you for joining, my brother. We're going to continue this. This isn't it. That, I mean, like I said, this is 3. We will do a 4. You know, 4 will just probably be like mid-November. It all depends. Like I said that I wasn't going to do part 2 for a few weeks, but it came out a few days later, and then I said I wasn't going to do part 3. You never know. It's all however God wants to guide it. I got this whole week booked up. This one's going to be released later today. When you guys are listening to this, it would be released the same day. And then I got so much other episodes after, but part 4 might be happening soon. I'm trying to get one of my old friends. She was lesbian back in junior high, but now she is married to a man. She has 4 kids. She is a minister in church. I mean, I'm getting people that got testimonies out here. People that actually been through. Y'all want people that been through and people that ain't making up stories? I'm going to bring them to y'all. Because y'all ain't trying to hear me. So I'm going to bring them to y'all so y'all can hear their stories. And not to prove nothing, it's to help you guys. That's the only reason why I do this, to help people. And like I said, it ain't just them. I'm going to have people that Well, once big thieves on these podcasts to talk about how to not steal no more. I mean, I have people that were killers. I don't want to get them arrested, but people that were killers and talk about how they was. I'm going to have people that were players, people that were pimps. I want all that. People that changed their lives for God to show everybody that anything's possible. If all y'all think homosexuality is a problem, it is. No matter how you look at it, it is. I mean, you can try to avoid it all you want. It's a spirit. And like I said, if you ain't comfortable with me talking about it or you don't want to hear this, you don't have to listen to the podcast. I didn't force you. It ain't in your email. It's just on Facebook. And the people that follow on Anchor and Google, I think all y'all. But I want to give a shout out to my boy DJ Brown too. Him and my boy Eddie Murray got their own podcast going on now. You put in DJ Brown, and I believe, let me see if I can pull it up. I believe it's DJ Brown, and then you put in Straight Like That, something like that. But if you go into me and you go into the people that I follow, you'll see his name under there. But they're doing that thing over there from down south. Much love to them brothers. Those are my boys. They we all went to church together. Me and the one of the brothers on there, Eddie, made music together. So go support them, man. They're married. They understand, you know, being young, married, and, you know, keeping God first. So go give my brothers a shout out. Go take a look at them. They talk about a lot of stuff. They talk about sports. They talk about God. They talk about everything, you know. And there's not too many Christians doing this. So just go check them out. Matter of fact, before I even go off, I'm going to make sure I have their name. DJ Brown. Let me see. Straight Like That. Put in Straight Like That real quick. I'm having a Paul look it up. Brother Dante look it up while I'm on there. Hold on. Let me put this on pause. Yeah, so I can't find the actual name of the title, but like I said, go into me, click who I follow, and you guys should find them under there. I just favorite this podcast early, but yeah, go get them brothers to take a look. Take some time out of your day and listen. Like I said, listen to these podcasts when you guys drive. It's the best time when you're driving, when you're walking, when you're jogging, whatever you're doing. Support your brothers out there. Please share. Listen, I need them sponsors. I need you guys to listen to the commercials. I need you guys to share because you guys are going to be my, not survival, but you guys are going to be the help that I can be back to the community. I'm trying to do things with the homeless out here. I'm trying to do things where I'm saving up money so I can do trips for the church and all that type of stuff. So you guys support. Thank you all. Thank you for all who do come on here. I appreciate all y'all. Love all y'all. And God bless. See you guys all week this week. All episodes out. Just stay tuned with me. They will all be out. This is 38 minutes for this one. But it was due. But y'all have a good night. Peace.